Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This article is entitled Apex Express Car Wash, Building Mega Wash in Midland, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Apex Express Car Wash is building a 200-square-foot mega wash at 1900 Big Spring in Midland. According to company representatives, the space will offer 30 free vacuum spaces for customers and compressed air for detailing. The earliest opening date is slated for May. We will offer three different unlimited plans, as low as $30 per month, to wash your vehicle at any location as many times as desired, the company wrote in an email message to the Midland Reporter Telegram. We plan to have four operating sites across the Permian Basin by June 2024. Customers are encouraged to visit the company's website at https://apexexpresscar-wash.com/locations to locate current locations as well as those still under construction. Company representatives did advise that the car wash will offer free car washes for 3 days during its grand opening celebration. Our mission is to deliver a world-class car wash experience every single time, the company wrote.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, January 9th. County to hear from volunteer fire departments. The Ector County Commissioners will meet at 10 a.m. Tuesday in the Commissioners' Courtroom, 1010 East 8th Street. Included in a busy agenda is to consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on an update from the West Odessa Volunteer Fire Department regarding American Rescue Plan Act funds. Commissioners also will consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on quotes from Metro Fire for the South Ector County Volunteer Fire Department's purchase of a brush truck and light rescue truck using ARPA funds. The purchase is being made through the National Purchasing Partners Bid Cooperative. Commissioners will consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding changes made to the Kellis-Turner Park design and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. There is no change in the original cost. County Judge Dustin Fawcett said the county is working with former City Odessa Parks and Recreation Director Steve Patton on improvements to Kellis-Turner Park. Fawcett said the county is putting a lot of emphasis on the park. There is an Ector County Sheriff's Station there. The park is arguably going to be the safest park in all of Ector County, Fawcett said. A vendor fair is planned for early March, with funds going to the South Odessa Fire Volunteer Department. Fawcett said community member Michelle Spinks is leading that. We're trying to bolster the park and help it be the best it can be, Fawcett said. Other items on the agenda are to consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on specifications for a 2024 Chevy Silverado for the Planning and Development Department. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve the consent to leasehold deed of trust between T Arrow 2 LLC and Alliance Bank Central Texas regarding two hangars located at Odessa Schleymeyer Airport, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding the Recruiter Model Service Agreement with Recourse Communications Incorporated, RCI, and the ratification document associated with this agreement, and authorize the county judge, county commissioners and county clerk to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. Fawcett said the county is working with a recruit firm to find jailers to fill spots at the expanded county jail to bring back as many inmates as possible to Ector County, to consider, discuss, and take any necessary action on a replat of Block 16, Lot 21. Corrected Clearwater Mesa Section 2 and Section 35, Block 43, Precinct Number 4, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to accept a donation portion of 3rd Street of a public road within Lynx Estate, being a plat of a 15-acre tract out of Section 33, Block 42, and for Ector County to accept the maintenance of this road. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding the acceptance and maintenance of the newly constructed, reconstructed County Road 307, South Wheeler Road, from approximately 3,783 feet south of State Highway 302 and County Road 307 intersection to Winkler County Road 404, 7.32 miles, and authorize the county judge to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve a line item transfer to FMLR funds, Public Works Special Departmental Equipment 002-810-5507 from Road Maintenance 002-810-5241 for $10,000. And authorize the county judge and county clerk to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve a budget amendment to General Fund Library Supplies 001-690-5185 for $8,800. Subscriptions 001-690-5207 for $7,500. Software maintenance contracts 001-690-5283 for $3,400. And to donated revenues 001-4171 for $19,700. And authorize the county judge and county clerk to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action regarding the Ector County Monthly Treasurer's Report for September 2023 and October 2023, and authorize the county judge and county commissioners to sign all documents associated with this agenda item. In addition, it is requested that these reports be archived with the official minutes of this meeting. To consider, discuss, and take any necessary action to approve the accounts payable fund requirements report for January 9th, 2024, and review county financial statements and reports, an executive session. Sand Hills Stock Show and Rodeo Giveaway rolls over. The Sand Hills Stock Show and Rodeo will have a giveaway Thursday where a lucky fan could win $2,000. The rodeo has had a $1,000 giveaway, but no one won last time, so prize money rolled over to make it $2,000. A drawing will be held, and the ticket holder who is in their seat of the matching ticket drawn during the rodeo performance will be declared the winner. Each ticket will represent a seat in the audience of the Ector Coliseum, where the 91st Sand Hill Stock Show and Rodeo are held from January 4th through 13th. The person in the seat with that correct ticket in hand will be the winner of the $1,000 cash prize. You must be in your seat and have proof of ticket. We are excited to be able to bring this type of opportunity to our rodeo fans. Every year, we think of ways to bring the crowd into the action, and for 2024, we are putting money in your pocket. Sand Hills Rodeo Vice President of Marketing Nancy McCain said in a news release. For more information of the 2024 Sand Hills Stock Show and rodeo schedule, visit sandhillssr.com. Moon landing attempt by U.S. company appears doomed after critical fuel leak. Cape Canaveral, Florida. The first U.S. moon landing attempt in more than 50 years appears to be doomed after a private company's spacecraft developed a critical fuel leak just hours after Monday's launch. Pittsburgh-based Astrobotic Technology managed to orient its lander toward the sun so the solar panel could collect sunlight and charge its battery as a special team assessed the status of what was termed a failure in the propulsion system. It soon became apparent, however, that there was a critical loss of fuel, further dimming hope for what had been planned, a moon landing on February 23rd. We are currently assessing that alternative mission profiles may be feasible at this time, the company said in a statement. The problem was reported about 7 hours after Monday's pre-dawn liftoff from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. United Launch Alliance Vulcan rocket provided the lift for Astrobotic's lander named Peregrine, putting it on a long roundabout path to the moon. A propulsion system problem threatened the ability of the spacecraft to soft land on the moon, the company said. The lander is equipped with engines and thrusters for maneuvering, not only during the cruise to the moon, but on the lunar descent. Astrobotic was aiming to be the first private business to successfully land on the moon, something only four countries have accomplished. A second lander from a Houston company is due to launch next month. NASA gave the two companies millions to build and fly their own lunar landers. The space agency wants the privately owned landers to scope out the place before astronauts arrive while delivering tech and science equipment for the space agency, other countries and universities, as well as odds and ends for other customers. Astrobotic's contract with NASA for the Peregrine lander was $108 million, and it has more in the pipeline. Before the flight, NASA's Joel Kearns, Deputy Associate Administrator for Exploration, noted that while using private companies to make deliveries to the moon will be cheaper and quicker than going the usual government route, there will be added risk. He stressed that the space agency was willing to accept that risk, noting Monday, "Each success and setback are opportunities to learn and grow." The last time the U.S. launched a moon landing mission was in December 1972. Apollo 17's Gene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt became the 11th and 12th men to walk on the moon, closing out an era that has remained NASA's pinnacle. The space agency's new Artemis program, named after the twin sister of Apollo in Greek mythology, looks to return astronauts to the moon's surface within the next few weeks. First will be a lunar fly-around with four astronauts, possibly before the end of the year. Highlighting Monday's moonshot was the long-delayed initial test flight of the Vulcan rocket from Cape Canaveral's Space Force Station. The 202-foot rocket is essentially an upgraded version of the ULA's hugely successful workhorse Atlas V, which is being phased out along with the company's Delta IV. Steve Bezos' rocket company, Blue Origin, provided the Vulcan's two main engines. ULA declared success once the lander was free of the rocket's upper stage. Nearly an hour into the flight and before the spacecraft's propulsion system malfunctioned and prevented the solar panel from properly pointing toward the sun. Landing on the moon has long been a series of hits and misses. The Soviet Union and the U.S. racked up a string of successful moon landings in the 1960s and 70s. Before putting touchdowns on pause, China joined the elite club in 2013 and India in 2023. But last year also saw landers from Russia and a private Japanese company slam into the moon. An Israeli nonprofit crashed in 2019. Next month, SpaceX will provide the lift for a lander from Intuitive Machines. The Nova-C lander's more direct one-week route could see both spacecraft attempting to land within days or even hours of one another. Besides flying experiments for NASA, Astrobotics drummed up its own freight business, packing the 6-foot Peregrine lander with everything from a chip to rock from Mount Everest and toy-sized cars from Mexico that will catapult to the lunar surface and cruise around to the ashes and DNA of deceased space enthusiasts, including Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry and science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke. The Navajo Nation recently sought to have the launch delayed because of the human remains, saying it would be a profound desecration of a celestial body revered by Native Americans. Astrobotic Chief Executive John Thornton said, "The December objections came too late." West Texas VA holds hiring fair in San Angelo. The West Texas VA healthcare system will hold a hiring fair with on-site interviews from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. January 27th at the San Angelo VA community-based Outreach Clinic, 4240 Southwest Boulevard, San Angelo. Individuals with experience and/or education as physicians, nurse practitioners, registered nurses, and licensed vocational nurses are encouraged to turn out. Recruitment incentives may be authorized for highly qualified candidates. WTVAHCS is interviewing and hiring for positions throughout West Texas and Southeast New Mexico, including Abilene, Big Spring, Midland, Odessa, San Angelo, Fort Stockton, Texas, and Hobbs, New Mexico. Interested applicants should bring their resume, DD-214 Certificate of Release or Discharge from Active Duty, two forms of ID and VA disability letter if applicable. Resumes must include licensure and education background to include highest degree attained. For more information about these and other VA employment opportunities, contact West Texas VA Public Affairs at wtxvapublicaffairs@va.gov. Unaccompanied veteran burial set at the Central Texas State Veterans Cemetery, Killeen. The Central Texas State Veterans Cemetery, 11463 Fort Hood Street, Killeen, will conduct an unaccompanied veteran burial for U.S. Marine Corps veteran Staff Sergeant Daryl D. Collins at 11 a.m. sharp, January 10th. Born on June 16, 1968, Staff Sergeant Collins served from February 1989 to April 2005. Staff Sergeant Collins received the National Defense Service Medal, Southwest Asia Medal, Kuwait Liberation Medal, and the Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal for his service to our nation. Staff Sergeant Collins is not expected to have any next of kin attend his burial. Members of the Killeen community are encouraged to attend. Staff Sergeant Collins will receive military honors. If no next of kin is present at the burial, a Veterans Land Board representative will accept the United States flag on his behalf. Harmony Science Academy Midland expands its curriculum with the addition of grade levels 3 through 5. Harmony Science Academy Midland announced Monday the expansion of its educational program to include additional grade levels. Harmony Science Academy will now offer education for grades 3 through 5 for the 2024-2025 academic year as part of its commitment to providing quality education and fostering academic excellence. This strategic decision is in response to the growing demand for high-quality education and the commitment of Harmony Science Academy to provide students with a comprehensive and enriching learning experience. Harmony's mission is to prepare students for higher learning in a safe, caring, and collaborative atmosphere through a quality, learner-centered educational program with a strong emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, a news release said. We are thrilled to introduce these new grade levels at Harmony Science Academy. Harmony Public Schools, West Texas Area Superintendent Dr. Camille Yilmaz said in the release, we look forward to welcoming new students into our Harmony family and providing them with a transformative educational experience. Harmony Science Academy Midland will be located at Loop 250, Frontage Road, and Meadowside Street. Supported by donations of Permian Strategic Partnership and the Abel Hanger Foundation, the campus will open in August 2024 for pre-K through 5 students in a modular classroom setting as construction continues on its state-of-the-art campus nearby. The campus will expand to further grades for the following academic years. A second Odessa campus also is scheduled to open in 2025-2026 to go along with the current Harmony Science Academy Odessa. HSA Odessa currently is one of Harmony's most applied to campuses in the state. Harmony Public School is a 62 Texas public charter school system that provides rigorous, high-quality education focused on science, technology, engineering, and math. Through a caring and collaborative environment, Harmony provides students from traditionally underserved communities the opportunity to excel through project-based learning, where they learn the skills necessary to become contributing global citizens. This school will be part of the TEA-recognized A-rated West Texas District and will house 200 students from grade levels pre-K to second grade in its first year and expand enrollment to 1,500 pre-K through 12th grade students over the next decade. Harmony Public Schools West Texas District is a tuition-free, open enrollment, public charter school system providing high-quality education with a focus on science, technology, engineering, and math, STEM, for students in pre-K through grade 12, with schools in El Paso, Lubbock, Midland, and Odessa. Applications for open enrollment for the 2024-25 school year are now open. Midland settles with company to drill wastewater wells near the city's drinking water supply. City leaders fought a year-long battle to keep a company from drilling wastewater disposal wells too close to their drinking water. This week, they settled with a company instead, in a decision they say was a last resort. Pilot Water Solutions, a Houston-based company, is planning to build 9 disposal wells to store salt water that surfaces to the ground during crude oil extraction, a waste byproduct known as produced water. The company hoped to install these wells near T-Bar Ranch, an underground water reservoir from which the city gets a third of its drinking water for more than 132,000 residents. Maybe we shouldn't say this is the safest saltwater disposal system in the country, but it's safer now because of what we did, said Midland City Council member Scott Dufford, referring to the settlement. In 2022, Midland awarded pilot licenses that authorized the company to transport produced water to land neighboring T-Bar Ranch. City leaders say they didn't know Pilot was planning to submit applications with the Railroad Commission of Texas to drill 19 disposal wells in the vicinity of the groundwater. We asked them if they planned to apply, and Pilot said no, said Carl Crago, Director of Utilities of the City of Midland. Shortly after the city granted the licenses, Pilot began to drill 4 wells in T-Bar Ranch. Pilot did not respond to requests for comment. The city challenged the applications and asked the Railroad Commission, which regulates the oil and gas industry in the state, for a hearing in a plea to the commissioners. Midland Mayor Lori Blong argued the proposed location of the wells was in dangerous proximity to the city's drinking water. The Railroad Commission eventually agreed to a hearing, which was scheduled for this month. But days before the hearing, city officials negotiated directly with the company, eliminating the Railroad Commission as an intermediary, and reached a settlement that would pay the city $400,000 annually, plus $4.5 million every 10 years. Based on the amount of wastewater Pilot injects into the wells. City officials said they will use the water to fund new water infrastructure projects. Pilot agreed to some concessions, including bringing down the number of wastewater disposal wells from 19 to 9, installing and financing monitoring systems that would detect any chemicals in the drinking water, and agreeing to give the city unlimited access to the tools monitoring the flow of water underground. The company also agreed to plug 2 abandoned saltwater disposal wells in T-Bar Ranch. City officials said the settlement they reached with Pilot was the best case scenario given the circumstances. They argued that following through the Railroad Commission hearing would have prolonged the dispute and that the commissioner's ruling would not have guaranteed the concessions they obtained through the settlement. Initially, local officials told state regulators that the city would be able to contest Pilot's applications, given how close the wells would be to Midland's drinking water supply. That changed with the settlement. Now, they say, the reduced capacity of the wells, half of the amount originally proposed, would not pose a dire risk of contamination for the groundwater. Pilot also agreed to drill the 9 wells further away from the drinking water. Pilot's proposed underground storage units will reach 7,500 feet in depth. The groundwater is 600 feet below the ground. City officials said they would shut down both the drinking water and saltwater disposal wells if the monitoring systems detected contamination. If there is even an inkling of an issue, we'll find out about it because of the safeguards that are in place, Dufford said. But it would be very hard for the produced water to get from the western side of the ranch, where there is no reservoir, to our reservoir. Virginia Palacios, Executive Director of Commission Shift, an environmental watchdog group, said that regardless of the concessions reached through the settlement agreement, the saltwater disposal well could continue to pose a threat of risk to Midland. I think in the greater context, we're seeing a lot of problems with these underground injection wells, Palacios said. It seems like something that's not safe to do close to the water supply. The settlement comes as Texans across the state face an intricate mix of water challenges that are strained, that have strained their water supply, from aging infrastructure to the impacts of climate change. In the Permian Basin and West Texas, the question is where to store millions upon millions of gallons of wastewater without compromising the ever-waning groundwater supply. For years, oil and gas companies have used saltwater disposal wells that are buried deep underground. According to the Railroad Commission, there are over 26,100 disposal wells where produced water is injected. It has created problems. Scientists and experts agree that the number of underground disposal wells has contributed to increased seismic activity, the number of earthquakes increased in frequency, prompting the Railroad Commission to further regulate disposal wells and design a map that tracks earthquakes. In December, regulators directed major companies with operations in the Permian Basin, including Chevron and BP Water, to cease disposing of produced water in Reeves and Culberson counties because of the earthquakes, and revoked 23 permits. Pilot operates over 30 miles of underground pipelines and 25 saltwater disposal wells in the Permian Basin alone, according to its website. Trustees to hear CTE update. Ector County ISD trustees will hear an update on the district's career and technical education programs at their 6 p.m. Tuesday workshop in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The presentation will preview programs and additions, graduation rates, number of dual credit, student success stories, and the 8th grade high school program fair set for January 30th at Odessa College. It will also include an overview of what will go into the new Career and Technical Education Center financed by Proposition 1 of the Ector County ISD bond issue. 8th grade students will attend the event during the school day, and parents and all other students may attend from 4 to 7 p.m. Last year, more than 2,220 8th grade students attended the event. The students had a chance to learn about the ECISD CTE programs of study, talk to high school students, teachers, and college faculty, and make more informed decisions about their four-year plans. Policy updates also are on the agenda. Crockett Middle School to host Empty Bowls event. Crockett Middle School, 2301 Conover Avenue, will host its third annual event leading up to the Empty Bowls event, 5:30 p.m. January 11th in the Crockett Middle School cafeteria. Students, staff, and their families will learn to make and glaze bowls along with University of Texas Permian Basin pots and prints. The bowls will then be donated to the Empty Bowls Project benefiting the West Texas Food Bank. The Empty Bowls event will be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. February 11th at the Salisbury Campus Center at Odessa College, 201 West University Boulevard. Former Crockett Middle School Principal Arabelle Aranda and art teacher Priscilla Hernandez started the event a couple of years ago, and it keeps growing every year. Aranda is now Director of Administrative Services for ECISD. Pope, in major policy address, calls for universal ban on surrogacy, says it exploits mother and child. Pope Francis called Monday for a universal ban on what he called the despicable practice of surrogate motherhood, as he included the commercialization of pregnancy in an annual speech listing threats to global peace and human dignity. In a foreign policy address to ambassadors accredited to the Holy See, Francis lamented that 2024 had dawned at a time in which peace is increasingly threatened, weakened, and in some part lost. Citing Russia's war in Ukraine, the Israel-Hamas war, migration, climate crisis, and the immoral production of nuclear and conventional weapons, Francis delivered a list of the ills afflicting humanity and the increasing violation of international humanitarian law that allows them. But Francis also listed smaller-scale issues that he said were threats to peace and human dignity, including surrogacy. He said the life of the unborn child must be protected and not suppressed or turned into an object of trafficking. I consider despicable the so-called surrogate motherhood, which represents a grave violation of the dignity of the woman and the child based on the exploitation of situations of the mother's material needs, he said. Giving a child is a gift and never the basis of a commercial contract. He called for a global ban on surrogacy to prohibit this practice universally. Francis has previously voiced the Catholic Church's opposition to what he called uterus for rent. At the same time, however, the Vatican's doctrine office has made clear that same-sex parents who resort to surrogacy can have their children baptized. While commercial surrogacy contracts are common in the U.S., including with protections for the mothers, guarantees of independent legal representation and medical coverage, they are banned in parts of Europe, including Spain and Italy. Russia's war in Ukraine and the threat to babies born to surrogate Ukrainian mothers expose the country's thriving industry. Ukraine is one of the few countries that allows surrogacy for foreigners. Critics say commercial surrogacy targets women who are poor and from vulnerable communities. Supporters say surrogacy gives women a chance to provide children to childless couples and that commercial contracts protect both the surrogates and the intended parents. In Italy, where surrogacy has been banned for years, the issue has emerged recently. As the conservative government of Premier Giorgia Meloni has opposed registering both parents of children born via surrogacy overseas. In his geopolitical roundup, Francis singled out Russia by name in noting the large-scale war waged by the Russian Federation against Ukraine. It marked an unusual break with France's usual tendency to spare Moscow direct public blame for the invasion when expressing solidarity with the Ukrainian people. Francis was more balanced in his lament of Israel's ongoing war in Gaza, condemning Hamas' October 7th assault on southern Israel, and every instance of terrorism and extremism. At the same time, he said, the attack provoked a strong Israeli military response that left thousands dead and create a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. He called for an immediate ceasefire, including in Lebanon, and the liberation of hostages held in Gaza, and reiterated the Holy See's position seeking a two-state solution for Israel and the Palestinians and an internationally guaranteed special status for Jerusalem. In other comments, Francis lamented various humanitarian and refugee crises in Africa and, without naming names, blasted military coups and elections in several African countries marked by corruption, intimidation, and violence. Called for a respectful diplomatic dialogue with the Nigerian government to resolve what he called a protracted crisis. The government's crackdown on the Catholic Church has resulted in the detention of dozens of priests and bishops. The government has accused the church of aiding popular protests against his administration that he considered an attempted coup, called for the resumption as early as possible of Iran nuclear talks to ensure a safer future for all, Last month, the International Atomic Energy Agency said Iran has increased the rate at which it is producing near-weapons-grade uranium, reversing a previous slowdown. Francis also said that the manufacturing of nuclear weapons was just as immoral as the possession and use of them. Francis has already changed church teaching to include the possession of nuclear weapons as inadmissible, but on Monday he included the production of such weapons as part of his overall criticism of the weapons industry. Perhaps we need to realize more clearly that civilian victims are not collateral damage of war, but men and women with names and surnames who lost their lives, he said. They are children who are orphaned and deprived of their future. Tiger Woods, Nike end partnership after more than 27 years. Tiger Woods is no longer a Nike athlete after 27 years, ending a partnership between the Swoosh and golf's biggest star and raising questions about the future of both in the sport. Woods, in a social media post, thanked Nike co-founder Phil Knight for his passion and vision that brought Nike and Nike Golf partnership with Woods together. Over 27 years ago, I was fortunate to start a partnership with one of the most iconic brands in the world, Woods wrote. The days since have been filled with so many amazing moments and memories. If I started naming them, I could go on forever. Mark Steinberg, his agent at Excel Sports, confirmed the end of the deal that began in 1996 when Woods turned pro and within 8 months had already won four times and shattered world records in a watershed Masters victory. It was time for the next chapter, Steinberg told the Associated Press. Amazing run, great partnership. Nike also posted to social media saying in a photo, "It was hell of a round, Tiger. Tiger, you challenged your competition, stereotypes, conventions, the old school way of thinking," the Nike post was captioned. "You challenged the entire Institute of Golf. You challenged us, and most of all yourself, and for that challenge, we're grateful." Woods signed a 5-year deal worth $40 million when he turned pro in 1996. After his unprecedented third straight U.S. amateur title, it was shocking money at the time to most in the industry, except Nike and his father. "Chump change," the late Earl Woods once said, and he was proven correct. Woods renewed the deal, believed to be worth over $100 million in 2000. As recognizable as any athlete in the world, Woods became the face of Nike Golf and had his own TW brand. On the golf course, Woods set records as the youngest to win the Grand Slam at age 24, the only player to hold all four major titles at the same time, and his 15-shot win at the U.S. Open, the largest margin for a major in golf history. But there were signs in recent years of a fractured relationship. Woods returned from his February 2021 car crash that shattered bones in his right leg by wearing FootJoy shoes, saying it was a better feel considering his injuries. Woods remained in them. Nike has a long history making shoes, even until the PNC Championship last month that he played with his son. When asked about his deal with Nike, Woods replied, "I'm still wearing their product," and sternly repeating the phrase when asked if there was an end to his deal. More than just a face, Woods unwittingly delivered big moments for Nike, none greater than his 2005 Masters victory when he hit a pitch from below the 16th green that went up the slope and then rolled back toward the hole. The ball hung on the edge for a full second, the Swoosh in full view before it dropped. It remains one of the most famous moments in golf's most watched tournament. He also was filming a commercial 1 year when between takes, Woods began bouncing the ball off his club. That led to a spot where he bounced the ball off the club between his legs, behind his back, before hitting the ball in midair. Throughout the course of our partnership, we have witnessed, along with the rest of the world, how Tiger not only redefined the sport of golf, but broke barriers for all of sport. Nike said in a statement, "We watched him set records, challenge conventional thinking, and inspire generations of people around the globe. We are grateful to have been a part of it. We wish him the best in the future." Woods has won 15 majors, second only to Jack Nicklaus, 18, and his 82 career PGA Tour victories are tied with Sam Snead, but he has been slowed in recent years by 5 back surgeries, shattered ligaments in his rebuilt left knee, the 2021 car crash, and age. He turned 48 at the end of last year. Nike stood by him when his personal life imploded in 2009 over extramarital affairs, and when his schedule was reduced greatly because of leg and back injuries. Woods remarkably returned from fusion surgery to win the Masters in 2019, his 5th green jacket. Nike also showed signs of slowing in golf business. It decided to get out of the hard goods business in 2016, sending Woods to play different clubs and a different golf ball. The company still has a stable of golfers wearing its apparel, including Scottie Scheffler, the world's number one player, who wears a TW brand shoe, although former number one Jason Day did not renew his deal with this year and switched to a different apparel company. Woods has been optimistic that he can play once a month in 2024, which likely is to start at the Genesis Invitational in Los Angeles next month. Steinberg said he was working on a new deal and that, "I anticipate there could be an exciting announcement at the Genesis Invitational." Wood indicated the same. "People will ask if there is another chapter," Woods wrote in his post. "Yes, there will certainly be another chapter. See you in L.A." Bennett service scheduled Saturday. A memorial service for longtime Odessan Ronald Bennett is scheduled for 2 p.m. Saturday at Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane in Odessa. Bennett was 88 and was a fixture on Odessa's art scene for more than 6 decades. He was a local piano teacher extraordinaire, teaching thousands during his years beside the piano. In 2019, he was honored with the Friends of the Arts Award during the Black and White Ball. At the time, he told the audience, after a standing ovation, that if you give to Odessa, it will give back to you. That was Ronald Bennett. He was always working to improve Odessa and the talents of young musicians. He didn't care who got the credit for doing great things as long as great things were done. During the 2019 ball, he was called a founding father of the arts in Odessa. His passion for the arts led him to have a hand in most all things art in Odessa for 60 plus years, including the Permian Playhouse, the Odessa Music Teachers Association, the Globe Theater, the Cultural Council, and many others. Bennett told the audience that day he was humbled by this wonderful thing. Bennett was a Jonesboro, Arkansas native who came to Odessa in 1959 after earning bachelor's and master's degrees at the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and his teaching career has now reached the third generations of some families. He was choir director at the First Christian Church, now Connection Christian, and at St. Luke's United Methodist and Westminster Presbyterian Churches. Bennett wrote numerous pieces for local school choirs and 50 exercises to teach various techniques that were nationally published. Odessa Chamber of Commerce CEO President Renee Earls said he was a joy to know. "He shined a light on the arts and culture in our community for many decades. I can't even begin to imagine the number of students, young and old, he impacted over the many years, providing voice and piano lessons and lending his talent to many events and organizations. Ronald Bennett's wife is 53 years, Dortha, died in 2016. He is survived by his son, Ron, and his husband, Jim Ring, of California. Officials, wrong-way driver hits troopers. A 35-year-old Seminole man is facing several felony charges after DPS troopers said he ran into two of them while trying to avoid a DWI arrest, all while his 9-year-old daughter was traveling with him. According to Texas Department of Public Safety report, a Midland trooper pulled Michael Joe Estrada over for driving west on the eastbound lanes of Highway 191 near mile marker 268 around 3 a.m. Saturday. When the trooper instructed Estrada to stay put, Estrada instead drove toward her and trapped her in between her open door and the inside of her patrol unit, the report stated. Estrada continued going the wrong way, and he hit another trooper's vehicle head-on near Fadre Road and 191, rendering both vehicles inoperable and Estrada unconscious, the report stated. According to the report, Estrada's daughter got out of the vehicle and ran to troopers because she was scared, and once at the hospital, she told them she was upset with her dad for being drunk and crashing again. Estrada, whose eyes were bloodshot, shot, and glassy, and who smelled of alcohol, insisted he was in San Angelo and had no concept of time, the report stated. Estrada admitted to drinking alcohol that night but refused to provide a blood sample. According to the report, troopers obtained a search warrant for his blood but skipped having Estrada perform field sobriety tests due to his being knocked out during the crash. The trooper noted in his report Estrada has been convicted of driving while intoxicated twice before and of evading police in a vehicle once before. Estrada was arrested on suspicion of child endangerment, evading police in a vehicle, aggravated assault against a public servant, and DWI third or more. He remained in the Ector County Jail Monday night on surety bonds totaling $175,000. Explosion at historic Texas hotel injures 21 and scatters debris in downtown Fort Worth. An explosion at an historic Texas hotel in Fort Worth on Monday blew out windows, littered downtown streets with large sections of debris from the building, and injured 21 people, including one person who is in critical condition, authorities said. The blast flung doors and entire sections of wall onto the road in front of the 20-story hotel, where rescue crews found several people trapped in the basement, said Craig Trojacek, a spokesman for the Fort Worth Fire Department. More than two dozen rooms were occupied at the Sandman Signature Hotel when the blast took place, Trojacek said. Authorities said they believe a gas leak caused the explosion and said the hotel had been undergoing construction. There is a smell of gas in the area. There are windows and things that are blown outside of the structure, Trojacek said. Four people were in serious condition and others taken to hospitals with minor injuries, authorities said in a news conference. The Sandman Signature Hotel is in a busy area of downtown, about one block from the Fort Worth Convention Center. Footage from news helicopters showed firefighters picking their way through the piles of drywall, shattered glass, and mangled metal that coated the street outside the hotel. Authorities urged people to avoid the area. Trojacek said a restaurant in the building had been under construction, but said it was not definitive that it was where the blast occurred. Video posted to social media showed a man sitting on a street corner across from the explosion site and holding a woman at his chest. The man appeared to have blood on his forehead, and a medical technician knelt in front of him to tend to his wounds. A gray haze covered normally busy streets in downtown Fort Worth as firefighters walked through layers of debris. Remnants of the building lay scattered across the street, and over parked vehicles and gaping holes could be seen on the ground. People in buildings nearby the hotel Monday afternoon recalled hearing a loud crack that sounded like thunder and then seeing a wall of dust and paper sweep through the city streets. Outside, they were met with wreckage and the smell of gas. There was debris, there was insulation, there was office furniture, Charlie Collier, 31, told the Associated Press. Everything that was in the first couple floors of the building were blown out all over the street. Rebecca Martinez, who works across the street from the hotel, said she stepped outside and came upon a man and woman leaning against a fire hydrant. The man was all bloody, his face was all bloody, she said. Then I started smelling natural gas, real intense, Martinez said, and I thought, I might need to get away from here. Moments later, authorities evacuated her building and some of the surrounding neighborhood. Trojasek said investigators were working with federal investigators to determine the cause of the blast. The scene had left rescue teams unable to immediately reach some parts of the building. We had reports of people trapped down in the basement, and because of the explosion that took place, some of those access areas were either covered up or did not feel safe at that point to get people down into, Trojasek said. Texas State Representative Nicole Collier, whose district office is about 8 blocks from the hotel, said she didn't hear the explosion but heard the sirens of responding emergency vehicles and helicopters overhead.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.